Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Let's turn to our political commentators, Ken Sikkema, who is a senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and the former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us via Skype. And Vicki Barnett, former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Glad you could both be here. Representative Jason Shepherd from the southeast corner of the state and Senator Joe Hewn from Livingston County have introduced identical bills in each house that propose barring local governments from restricting short-term rentals of private dwellings, such as Airbnb does. Ken, this is not the first time in recent years the legislature has moved to take away local government control. Ted Roloffs at Bridge Magazine listed disposable plastic bags, gun control, minimum wage hikes, and others in a piece this summer. Traditionally, Republicans in Michigan felt local government knows best how to serve its citizens. What's changed?
Well, Republicans, and I think a lot of legislators sort of take the position that we want local control, except when we don't want local control. And it kind of calls to mind Ralph Waldo Emerson's quote about foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. I mean, they like to say they want local control, but then when it comes to issues where local control would mean kind of something they don't like, in this case, regulating these Airbnb situations, then all of a sudden local control is a bad idea. It's just, it's clearly inconsistent, but it's not the first time they've been inconsistent.
Vicki, the Michigan Municipal League, which represents local governments, has concerns about this particular Airbnb bill. We'll call it that for shorthand. But others, such as the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, support some restrictions on local control when it affects businesses, such as, well, like the government raising minimum wage. You're a former mayor. What do you think of this?
I'm also a former president of the Michigan Municipal League. So I have a real problem with the state weighing in on this. Local governments are trying to protect the integrity of their community, of their residential areas, from intrusion of commerce. And Airbnbs clearly are an intrusion of commerce into residential areas that I think is perfectly reasonable for local governments to regulate. There's also some additional considerations that the legislature is not taking into account when they're passing these bills, and that is the health, safety, and welfare, not only of the citizens who live here, but those who rent Airbnbs. I went to the Airbnb website. There are no requirements other than having a clean house for you to put the property up for rental. But our rental properties and lodging are required to have sprinklers in each room. They're required to have insurance to cover harm that could come to somebody who's renting these properties. And there's a whole host of things that govern the way we regulate lodging. And none of those are taken into consideration with Airbnb, leaving people who use Airbnb, they could be hurt or injured in the property. Will the insurance cover that the owner has? Will it cover the damage done by a short-term rental individual? I don't know. And all these questions are still open to be answered. And I think the state's jumping in where it shouldn't jump in at this point.
Here's something the Republicans in the legislature and Detroit's Democratic mayor agree upon. That's the elimination of state driver responsibility fees and an amnesty for drivers who owe them. Ken, what are these fees and should they be eliminated?
These driver responsibility fees were enacted in 2003. They are basically fines and penalties for people that violate various statutes related to driving, drunk driving, or late payment of licensure or registration. Now, if you ask, are they onerous, obnoxious, and counterproductive? Probably yes. Probably ought to be abolished. I do think it's important for people to know the history behind their enactment, and that is that when Republicans in the legislature, and I was majority leader at the time, were looking at a severe budget deficit, there was a refusal to cut spending enough on the part of Republicans and a refusal to raise taxes. So you had to find some alternative. And these fees were enacted purely to raise revenue because of Republican refusal to cut spending deep enough to balance the budget. But should they be abolished? In my opinion, yes, because they are onerous and they're very counterproductive.
That's interesting because a report in Cranes by Chad Livengood indicated Speaker Tom Leonard thought the driver responsibilities were nothing but a money grab by the state and blamed Governor Granholm for that. So you're saying it's the Republicans. He's saying it's Granholm. I guess that's just politics as we know them. Vicki, what do you think of these responsibility fees?
Well, I was part of the legislature that voted to get rid of them. I believe that they've been onerous. They've been almost like a debtor's prison for hardworking individuals that don't have the money to pay them. And when they started out, if you're dealing with drunk driving or driving under the influence, I understand additional penalties. But what happened was over time, people would lose their driver's license because they couldn't get insurance. They had to get to work. We don't have a great public transportation system in the Detroit metro area or throughout the state. They would end up getting pulled over for a broken taillight, and then they would get more additional fees on top of additional fees on top of additional fees. And it really became a horrible situation that hurt the ability of workers to get to work and really put a damper on helping individuals get gainful employment. And so it was time to get rid of these horrible fees. I'm glad the legislature is finally going to grant amnesty, I hope, to those fees that are left outstanding so that people can get a fresh start, get on with their lives, and go back to work and get their driver's license reinstated and hopefully be able to afford insurance on their automobile. So I think it's about time that we did this, and I'm glad that they're looking at it.
And you don't need to put this in your show, but I want to help Speaker Leonard understand how these things really happened. Because I was majority leader at the time. Hmm. And I went to the Senate caucus, Republican caucus, saying, we're Republicans, and we're going to balance this budget through spending cuts. And here are the cuts that we're going to enact to balance the budget. And those cuts were so onerous at the time that the Senate Republican caucus said no. There were, for example, on the corrections budget, it would have required the closure of five prisons, which at the time Republicans said, no, that's against our mantra of being tough on crime. So there were severe cuts to the Department of, at the time, Community Health. And the caucus said, no, we're not cutting spending that much to balance this budget. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Majority Leader, we're not going to raise taxes. So go find a way to get us some revenue, you know, that doesn't raise tax. So the Republican central staff, at my request, came up with a bunch of ideas. And this is the one that survived. And it survived because, well, we're going to raise revenue by penalizing people that have already violated the law. And that's how and why they got enacted. It had nothing to do with Granholm. It had to do with Republican refusal to cut spending enough to balance the budget at the time. And the lesson here, I mean, and I think that's the lesson for Republicans, is when you have a budget deficit at the state level, because you have to balance your budget, if you aren't going to cut spending or raise general taxes, you're going to end up with these kinds of schemes that potentially can be what driver responsibility fees are. As Vicki and I have both said, they're onerous, they're obnoxious, and they're actually counterproductive because people can't afford them.
Yeah, it's interesting how history so quickly gets lost, you know, because you don't have any institutional memory in the legislature.
There's none. There's none. And I've been involved in politics for a long, long time, and so is Ken. So we have a history of how all of these things came about. And it's very easy to blame the other party for the problem, because we had to go through this after the economic downturn. I took office in 2009, so we had just had the huge recession. There were few dollars coming in, and we had to make some tough decisions because, again, as a Democrat, I was faced with a legislature, at least on the Senate side, that refused to raise any taxes. It was horrible. We gutted education. We got rid of bovine TB oversight. I mean, it was just draconian. And we hurt we hurt everybody. And a simple increase in the state income tax could have solved a lot of those problems and kept us whole. But there's a refusal to do it.
That's Vicki Barnett, a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sekema, a former Republican legislator. Thanks to both of you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lester.